Computer, on.
I am on, sir. How can I help you?
Access program. It's your break.
Access code needed. Voice verification phrase, please.
It's your break. Take it.
Launching program.
Launching.
Welcome to It's Your Break.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz, and I guess I don't have to say welcome because our announcer just said that for you, right? Well, too bad. I want to say welcome anyways. Coming up in this episode of It's Your Break, we discuss the topic of used cars. Are they a good buy, or are they a bad buy? Well, you don't have to rely on our opinions or facts. The facts are backed up by Consumer Reports, and we enlist one of their car experts, Mike Quincy, in this episode to help us find out. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at It's Your Break, find us online at itsyourbreak.com, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell your family, tell your friends, and take a break with us.
It's Your Break, the show designed to give you a break. Sit back and take a break. Get a cup of coffee if that's your thing, and enjoy.
Welcome to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz. And have you ever had one of those things happen to you where you go buy a used car? You drive it and the thing is just a lemon. I've had one when I was younger. It was an old Ford Ranger. I put three engines in that thing before I learned my lesson. And plus, I got junkyard engines on top of that. So, needless to say, the little $500 truck ended up costing me more than $2,000 in the end. Was it worth it? I don't think so. So to help out other people who've had this problem, I've enlisted Consumer Reports, Mike Quincy, who is a automotive specialist with them. And Mike, thank you for so much for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So what is your actual role at Consumer Reports when it comes to used cars or cars in general?
Well, in cars in general, really, where I'm at, I work with a dedicated group of people here at Consumer Reports at our automotive test center in Connecticut. We have a state-of-the-art 327-acre facility where we test cars and tires and child safety seats, and we're really all about cars. One of the funny things is that in my neighborhood, people know that I'm a car guy, but they say, oh, you work for Consumer Reports. Can you tell me what's the best refrigerator to buy? And I'm like, I have no idea, but I can sure talk to you about cars.
They think you're the know-it-all, right?
Well, I'm one of several know-it-alls at the track, but tonight you got me.
All right, so let's talk about the used cars in general. When people go out to buy used cars, because that's a money saver. It really is compared to a new car sometimes. And what should people really be aware of? What should they really look into when considering buying a used car?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more that a used car is a really good deal. A 2 or 3 year old used car is often one of the best values when you're shopping for a car. I mean, not only is the price lower than most new cars, but continuing expenses such as like collision insurance and taxes are lower. And a 2 to 3 year old used car usually has already taken its biggest depreciation hit. I mean, that's really the biggest thing that you're getting when you're buying used. When you buy a new car, it typically loses its value about 46% of its value during its first 3 years, compared to 24% over the next 3 years. So, I mean, you're buying a car that somebody has already taken the biggest depreciation hit, and that's usually a really good move.
Wow, I didn't realize it dropped that much. That's amazing.
And when you shop smart and you do some research, I mean, Consumer Reports has tons of reliability data to help you pinpoint which makes and models and which particular years of makes and models are good used car bets. And if you find a good, reliable used car, you've got so much of its usable life left and you're not accepting and taking on those expenses that you normally get with a new car, such as we talked about before, depreciation, higher insurance costs, and whatnot.
Fascinating. You know, this it's something that you get used to, and it's almost an unsettling feeling for a lot of people to go out and put their effort and try to buy that used car. you know, they speak a lot about Carfaxes. How reliable is the Carfax?
Well, there's some documentation in the Carfax reports that are particularly useful, and they will you know, the Carfax can tell you when it's had accidents or repairs or what the previous owner did for it. But I don't believe the Carfax reports can tell you when an old car has been taken to a state where you can wash its title. And by washing the title, there are some states where you title a car that can be a salvage title or a complete wreck that somebody rebuilt. And the way that the wording exists on the paper title, it doesn't say anything about rebuilt wreck or salvage title. So the Carfax reports don't always pick up on stuff like that.
And what type of risk do you run into with a salvage title situation?
Well, if it could be a car that went through a flood, for example, and the insurance company deemed it a total loss, or it could have gotten into a fairly major accident and sold for salvage, and a you know resourceful mechanic could take it and put it back together and spruce it up and sell it as a used car, and you're just kind of taking a risk that you know, is the structural integrity of the car good even after the insurance company's called it a total wreck, or if the car had flood damage, the chances are pretty high that you're going to probably have some kind of electrical problems in the future. I mean, the cars aren't designed to sit in water. The interiors absorb all that moisture and can become moldy and smelly and disgusting. Consumer Reports has always said, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So if you're buying a rebuilt wreck and it doesn't have many miles on it, it's like, oh my, it's as good as new, there's no problems with it. I probably would keep shopping for a different car.
Gotcha. That's really good advice. So let's talk about shopping in general. Do you recommend going through the dealerships, or do you look for those deals for a sell-by-owner situation? What do you recommend?
You know, there's kind of two schools of thought on that. Certified used cars have kind of been a fairly big deal in the last 5 to 10 years, and a certified used car is when, say, Toyota, Honda, Mazda, whatever, takes a car in a trade and they bring it into their normal dealer service department, and they go through a big checklist and they check it off and they make sure it's all up to snuff, and they clean it up and they give you like a little bit of an extra warranty on it. And the good part about that is that the warranty is backed by the factory. But you have to really read the fine print, because say a Toyota certified used car has a lot of backing behind it. If you go to Joe's used car lot and he says this is a certified car and you've got a problem, you don't really have as much recourse. I mean, where do you go? You go yell at Joe. Joe's going to tell you to take a hike. So the downside of that is that a certified used car is usually a bit more expensive. For some people, getting the peace of mind is really worth it. For others, it's all about the bottom line. I mean, I guess the best used car buy is going to come from someone maybe that you know, a neighbor, a relative, that you know is taking good care of the car. That you know the car hasn't been in any accidents. You know that every oil change or every repair is backed up by paperwork that the previous owner can show you that it was done. And that's probably even a better peace of mind than there's a certified used car, and you'll probably get a better price for it.
That I didn't consider. You know, that's really, really, really good information. When you consider buying for somebody, it needs to be a trustworthy source. But, you know, here's the thing, too, that you hear a lot. You know, what about these used car salesmen out there and these little companies? And you hear about the scams that these little people play all the time as well. What research should someone do when they're going to buy a car from, whether it's, you know, the used car salesman, a regular dealer lot? What do you recommend?
I think the best, your first step is to talk to people, talk to your friends and neighbors, people you trust, and get firsthand recommendations. Just taking a random shot at a local used car dealer, you're never sure quite what you're going to get. Oftentimes, the mechanics that work locally will do some used car sales on the side. And this might be a car that the mechanic has worked on over the years and knows its history. And if there's a problem, the person is local, so you can go back there. It really depends on how lucky you can get. I mean, when you're buying a used car, you really don't know everything about its past, so you're hoping that it's all going to work out, as opposed to buying a new car that you know nobody's driven before, you know no one has wrecked, it has a full factory warranty, all the parts on it haven't been worn out. But we keep coming back to saving money. You save a lot of money buying a used car. I would ask around and talk to a lot of people and get some first-hand recommendations, and I would arm yourself with lots of reliability data. I mean, I would go to Consumer Reports, and I would look up any make or model that you're interested in buying and find out exactly what kind of trouble spots our reliability data will tell you about.
You know, here's one of my histories. I used to work at a car dealership, and I worked in the service department. I wasn't a mechanic, and I've never been a mechanic, and I know very little about the mechanics of the car. I sold the parts in the parts area and made sure that, you know, the mechanic's schedule was on tack. But I did see some interesting things come through, and it was interesting that in the fact that there are people who do not change their oil at all. I found this like mind-boggling. We had a couple people who come in whose engines were completely blown because they never ever changed the oil in the car. And needless to say, after those engines were shot, they traded in, basically they salvaged the car in a way. They traded in those cars and they bought a different car. My thinking is, where did those cars go? And, you know, did they replace the engines? How did the things happen? And it is just scary what you can run into, but it's also really nice when you do go into a situation where you buy those used cars, because that's what my current car that we just bought was, a Ford Edge, and it was recertified, and it's been a very, very, very good car. It just keeps going back. It boggles my mind what is reported, what isn't reported when coming to buy a used car. And I think that's all, it always has concerned me as a consumer. And it's just, you know, is there a way to get mechanics on your side? Is there a way to find a trustworthy mechanic to go with you, even look at these cars? Do you even recommend that?
Sure, that's an excellent point. Actually, if you get a line on a car that you think suits your needs and budget, and you think is a decent car, you ask the owner. You say, "Listen, I want to take it to my mechanic." You know, you say my mechanic. That's someone that you've worked with, someone that you trust, because you know not everybody has skills to be able to go over a used car and to find out if it's really structurally sound. And that's why when you bring it to mechanic and they put it up on the lift, they can look underneath and they can see if there's been a new weld, or they can see if something's been jury-rigged, or they can see some parts that are wearing unevenly or prematurely, because they have experience and they probably know this particular brand. You really have to do due diligence and find out somebody who you trust that can look it over. But that being said, there are some skills that you have as just an average consumer that can help you determine what it is and isn't a used car. You're just using your senses, and by that I mean you've got your nose. So you stick your nose in the car, and if you smell mold, the cars might have been underwater. If you smell smoke, the person that owned it before you might have smoked in it. You use your eyes. You can visually see when the paint is different color on different panels. You can visually see if there's rust. You can also listen to how the engine runs. If you're taking it out for a test drive and you put it under hard acceleration and the engine is knocking, that's something, okay, that's a red light right there. You can see if black smoke is coming out of the tailpipe, which means the engine might be running really rich, or if blue smoke is coming out, it might be burning oil. So there's lots of little things that you can do when you're looking over a potential used car. And I guess when you're doing stuff like that, you have to kind of keep your emotions intact. And by that I mean, don't like totally fall in love with the car and say, "Oh my God, this is what I've always wanted, and oh, I love the color, and look, it's a convertible." And so that means you're not really being rational, and you're not going to see the flaws of the car that you're falling for. And so you need to kind of be just take a step back and keep your emotions in check and try to get, you know, rational about the real functionality and the structural integrity of the car.
That is some really good points. One of the other things I want to see if you can touch on, and I don't know how much help you're going to be in this area, but the used car salesman or even the car salesman in general is a real big deterrent. How do you recommend handling or negotiating with these guys? Because sometimes they'll try to press you into something that really isn't for you and really shouldn't be in your budget.
Right. That's a good question, because when you go to shop for a car, whether it's new or used, you never want to inject in the conversation, you know, I can spend $200 a month on a car. Well, that salesperson will find a way to get you in your car, the car of your dreams, for $200 a month. Of course, you'll be paying it for 8 years, and by the time you're done paying for it, it won't be worth anything. The thing to keep in mind is that the profit margin on a used car sale is a lot higher than on a new car sale. And what that means is there's a lot more wiggle room. So if a car dealer buys a car like on the wholesale market for $4,000, they're going to mark it up several thousand dollars because that's just pure profit for them. At big time new car sales dealerships, again, make more money selling used cars than new cars. There isn't a lot of profit in a new car sale. They make it up in servicing and finance and insurance and in used car sales. So when you're shopping for a used car, understand that there is definitely some wiggle room for the price negotiation. You need to do your homework again. Find out what the average retail cost is going for that particular make and model in your area. Get several different price sources, whether it's KBB or Edmunds or Consumer Reports or you know any of those resources to get good, reliable pricing information and take that with you to the dealer. And again, be ready to walk away from a sale if you don't think that the price is fair. There's a lot of cars out there, and you don't have to just settle for one in particular.
That is very good advice. And something else I learned a long time ago while working at the dealerships was just because another car dealership has that used car doesn't mean your dealer that you normally deal with or you're the dealer you trust can't get that car for you. Because I've seen them sell that wholesale car right on over to another dealer for pretty much the cost or just a little bit above the cost they paid for it, and sold it to other customers really well because the dealership I used to work at did that in their sales department.
I mean, a good salesperson is going to be able to sell ice to Eskimos. So you have to be careful, and you have to be ready to know when somebody is pulling the wool over your eyes. And again, be ready to walk away. If your instincts are saying this doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right.
Good advice. Now let's talk a little bit about Consumer Reports, and because you know they're always out there for the consumer, and we appreciate it. You guys have a lot of tools on your website at consumerreports.org. What type of tools do you guys have? What type of research can we find about cars, used cars, all on your website?
Well, one of the most important things, and I've touched on this earlier, is one of the great reasons to subscribe to Consumer Reports is so you can access all of our survey data. And by survey data, that means that our last automotive reliability survey brought back information on 1.1 million vehicles. I mean, it is the most comprehensive auto reliability information available to consumers. That's one of the things. The other thing that you've got is about a collected 200 years of automotive testing experience with the people that I work with here at the test track. We are diehard automotive engineers and experts. We buy every car that we test. We don't take freebies from manufacturers. We don't accept advertising. We don't take any money from the government. We're a completely independent organization that's dedicated to buying and testing the products that everyday people buy and telling the truth about them. And that's really it in a nutshell as to why, you know, we want everyone in your audience to become subscribers of Consumer Reports.
That's interesting, and I didn't realize you all had such a a passion to do this. I mean, it's not like you're getting handouts. Say, oh, look at our product. Look at our product. We'll give you, you know, kickbacks if you look at our product. You're actually going out there and really buying the product, spending the money like the consumer would spend, and actually making the best use possible out of it.
And we rely on our subscribers to you know, pay for our information, because last year we spent about $2.5 million buying test vehicles. So, you know, we need crowd support to be able to do the work that we do, and we're really proud of it. I mean, we know we rub elbows with automotive journalists from mainstream media, and they're, you know, there are a lot of nice men and women that do this job. But it's just not quite the same when they're being sent off on first-class airfare trips to Hawaii to preview a new vehicle and staying in 5-star hotels and eating, you know, wonderful food. And, you know, that's not the way Consumer Reports operates, because we don't want to be beholden to any organization. So that's why we stay independent. That's why we buy our own test products, and why we don't take advertising.
That is really cool. And that itself, to me, is worth subscribing. So, Mike, thank you so much for coming on and helping us out. Is there anything else you want to promote or give on out here?
Well, check out consumerreports.org. That's our website. We're always posting new information about cars and automotive type news and information that consumers need to know. And we also have a number of special publications on newsstands. In fact, while we were talking, I was looking through our used car buying guide for 2015. And check out the monthly magazine. And again, by all means, if you need to buy a car or any other product, subscribe to Consumer Reports. We won't let you down.
Thank you so much for your advice and your information.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
It's Your Break is produced by Spark of Vision. Executive producer Jonathan Mertz. Announcer Mark Starr. Music from Sean McClure. And music from Sound Ideas. Host Jonathan Mertz. It's Your Break is owned and distributed by Spark of Vision. For more information on our host and announcers, visit itsyourbreak.com's cast section. And follow us on Twitter at itsyourbreak.